Hello.
Hello, everyone. This is Yusuf.
And Genoa. And this is
In-Flight Entertainment, the Throwback Thursday edition. Hope everyone's having a great Thursday. Friday is right around the corner, so we're here to help you guys with the transition with an awesome review of summer school. I'm about to say night school, sorry.
I mean, we referenced this during night school, so...
Yes, we did.
Because I was like, it's just like summer school, but it's not.
And Jen will have an awesome, awesome way of incorporating older films, doing a parallel. You know, she's like, hey, it's this. It was this movie. She's really big on Disney comparisons. But it's all good.
I mean, just for bad movies, honestly. I mean, not the Disney movies are good, but why do live action movies have to basically recreate Disney movies?
Well, I mean, what the hell? I mean, Disney movies are recreating Disney movies now.
I know, that's very disappointing in Disney.
So sad. I mean, I'm sorry, Disney. I'm not giving you my money.
It's just a money grab.
I can't do it. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. I'm on board with Marvel and Lucasfilm stuff, but... Come on, you're not going to get an extra... Oh, okay, sorry.
I'll wait for the new Lion King to be on a plane to watch it.
I'll wait for all that to get on the plane. Even, like, Dumbo, Aladdin, like, no.
Oh, right, I forgot about those.
I refuse to do it. You're not getting my money. No, sorry.
Agreed.
I'm watching the animated movies, ones that was better. So, summer school.
Sidetrack.
Getting off the tangent here. Summer School, the 1987 comedy starring... What is Harmon?
Mark Harmon.
Mark Harmon of CSI... Was it NCIS?
NCIS.
Okay, of NCIS.
Which is on CBS every Tuesday.
Okay, nice.
Sorry. Sometimes I watch that. So hey, I know these things.
Nothing wrong with that.
Also has Christy Alley,
mm-hmm.
Courtney Thorne Smith,
yep,
and a few other people.
Yeah, a few other people. It's directed by Carl Reiner,
which was I had no idea.
I blew my mind when I watched it. I'm like, wait a minute, Carl Reiner? You mean the jerk Carl Reiner? Okay, so people don't know about Carl Reiner. Carl Reiner. Directed The Jerk with Steve Martin, and he linked up with Steve Martin again to do this movie called All of Me. It was Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin back in 84. And then he did Summer Rental in 85 with John Candy.
Oh, he did The Man with Two Brains.
And The Man with Two Brains,
oh,
yes.
Crap.
I mean, Carl Reiner is awesome. And yeah, and then Summer School in 87.
Sorry, it looks like he did a lot of acting, but it was mostly voiceover stuff.
Yeah, but his directing the movies he directed were just comedic classics. Okay, funny tidbit. Okay, so Summer Rental he directed in 85 with John Candy. Summer School was his next movie in 87. So it would have been cool if he did one more summer movie as his next movie. It could be like his summer trilogy. But, you know, that's just wishful thinking. And the music by Danny Elfman. Danny Elfman did the music for this movie.
Seriously?
Yes! So crazy!
I didn't dive into this as much as you said, apparently.
No, I was digging. And it's funny, it's just the opening credits. I was just looking at the opening credits. I'm like, music by Danny. I'm like, no, not Danny. Not Batman.
Remind people who
Simpsons. Okay, so pretty much almost everything Tim Burton did as far as music wise, Danny Elfman did. He also did Darkman. He also The Simpsons theme. Every time you hum the Simpsons theme, that's Danny Elfman. That's his music. He also did the music for the first Spider-Man trilogy. And he did music for Summer School in 87. Such a scaled down score from what he went on to do after summer school.
So it's funny because I watch all of my movies with the subtitles on, mm. My favorite part of the subtitle portion is when they try to describe the music via subtitles.
That's funny.
And I noticed at the end, they're like, sad theme music.
It's like,
what does that mean, sad theme music? But apparently the sad theme music was by Danny Elfman.
Yeah, he had range. Definitely had range. Yeah, who would have thought? Oh, and I can go back even further, okay? Danny Elfman was part of this 80s group called Oingo Boingo. His band was highlighted in Back to School, Dead Man's Party, which is the song they did in the movie.
Yeah.
So he went on to do just musical scores after he left Oingo Boingo. So just some useless...
And I'll go even deeper on useless knowledge. There's an episode of My Favorite Murder, which is another podcast, that talks about the inspiration for that song.
Dead Man's Party?
Yes.
Oh, what? Get out of here. What was the inspiration? We're going to get on time. Now, we're here to talk about the movie. We're not... Okay, if you guys want to hear that story,
right? I'll find the My Favorite Murder podcast.
Yeah, y'all. But right now, but pay attention to our podcast, and we're talking about summer school,
right?
So what's the synopsis on this one?
Freddie, the gym teacher, has to teach remedial English in summer high school if he wants tenure, as he can only teach gym, and his students want. Fun emphasis is on field trips until he's fired unless all of his students pass the test. That's a really crappy description for this movie. I mean, it gets some points correct. And yes, he is a gym teacher, and he has to teach summer school in order to get tenure so that his job is safe.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't know how to teach, and he doesn't want to teach because he'd much rather be in Hawaii surfing
with
his girlfriend.
And
the kids convince him that... Well, we can just go on field trips, and then when they get busted for field trips, he's told he will lose his job.
He won't get tenure
mm-hmm. unless all of his students pass the English remedial test.
That's where all the 80s hilarity ensues.
Right.
You have your ragtag bunch of students. You have Rhonda, the pregnant teen. Yeah, Kevin was the dumb jock. Denise was the dyslexic, sassy black girl.
You always need one of those in today's movie.
Yeah, especially dyslexic. Pam was the blonde surfer girl.
Right, because this takes place in Los Angeles.
On the beach. Where is this school? Because, they were on, the beach all the time.
In my mind, this was Manhattan Beach.
Okay.
Only because, according to my mom, who grew up in Manhattan Beach, it was right by her high school was right near the beach, so that she could easily skip and go play beach volleyball or go body surfing during the day.
Okay. Right on.
Busting my mom for skipping school. I mean, it's whatever. It's 50 years later.
You're not going to get a spell. It's okay. Yeah, because there was a scene where Pam was looking out the window
at
the waves.
Yeah.
I'm like, where is this place?
Yeah.
And why was it?
Also, Pam is Courtney Thorne Smith.
Yes.
Which she did some projects after this, but the next big project was Side Out. So she went from surfer chick to volleyball chick.
Yeah, that's true. And then she went on to
Melrose.
Melrose.
She did some other projects. And then her next big thing was Melrose, and then a thing called.
According to Jim, she was on that sitcom with Belushi, the Belushi brother, The World According to Jim. She was the wife.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch it, but this
is
Courtney
Thorne. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but movies, yes. Side Out. Oh, wow, Side Out. Woo. Gonna watch that one again.
Yes. We're totally reviewing that one.
Yeah, Side Out will be on the listen for that one.
Right.
So we have Pam, and then we have Chainsaw and Dave, which is the boozed up slackers who is good. That's good with makeup effects for some reason.
Okay, well, they're in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Or Los Angeles.
You know, which is funny. Okay, so Chainsaw, when they show up the parents stuff, like, I would think, like, oh, maybe, like, the parents are in the industry or something like that, but, like, no.
No, he's obviously escaping his household family because they're too normal for Los Angeles.
Right. and their favorite movie is Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Hence the reason why he's called Chainsaw.
Yes, exactly. Okay, Alan is the unpopular dweeb who is the negotiator of the group of misfits, which Shoop, Freddie Shoop is the main character. The
Mark, teacher. Mark.
Yeah, Mark Harmon. And Larry is the mysterious student who's always sleeping but have a double life. And Anima, and then there's Anna Maria Mazzarelli, who's the foreign exchange hottie.
Because it's an 80s movie and you need a foreign exchange student.
I had zero problems with that. so, especially the beach scene, that was hilarious. yeah, so that's the ragtag bunch of students that Shoop have to wrangle and make fresh educated minds of. That's where the comedy ensues.
Right. So the reason, the way he convinces them to actually study, because they're all anti-school and we're only doing this because the man is forcing us, is that Mark Harmon's character, Freddie Shoop, agrees to... grant wishes in order for them to do their homework and learn.
Right. Yeah.
So some of the wishes include... having a party at his house.
House, right, which Chainsaw and Dave wanted.
Right. Teaching them how to... Teaching the dyslexic girl how to drive.
And Denise, yep. Kevin helped with the football...
Right.
...stuff. And Pam, like, room and board?
Yeah, room and board.
Which, okay, so this is one thing about... Okay.
This is a little creepy.
Yeah, that didn't really stick the landing too much because I'm like, okay, I know Shoop isn't this oblivious to Pam.
The 16-year-old that shows up in her swimsuit and...
Yeah, you know, at the party, she like laying on the bed like, oh, so where's your girlfriend?
Right.
And he's just like, oh, she's...
But he didn't, like, his facial expressions were like, this is bad. Let's go back to the party. Yeah,
it wasn't until, like, he looked over at her like, oh... Oh, okay, let's get out of here. It's like, oh no. I was like, okay, you played it a little too naive until that point.
Right.
But it was still funny.
And then we haven't mentioned Christy Alley.
But yeah.
And that she's like the other teacher that's teaching summer school that Mark Harmon's character is trying to get into her pants, basically. The
have dinner.
Movie. Oh, whatever.
Have continuously dinner. Have dinner. Yeah. And she constantly says no.
Right, because she's dating the vice principal.
Yes.
Robin Thomas.
Right.
Vince Gills.
Right. Yeah. And throughout all of the wishes granted through these students come casualties on him. Like his car is damaged from the driver's test. His couch is
set on fire during the party.
He goes to jail because he takes the heat for Chainsaw Dave for underage drinking on a beach.
Yep.
And having a dog without a leash.
Well, a dog on the beach.
On the beach. Oh, on the beach. Yeah.
Which, okay. So in the movie, the ticket's only $50. Now I believe it's $250.
Wow. $200.
And then one of the parks here in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. if you have your dog without a leash, it's $800.
No.
So people, have your animal on a leash.
Wow, PSA people, PSA. God, man, you don't want to drop $800.
I know.
Okay, so it's cheaper on the beach.
I know, which is surprising. And just go to the dog beaches.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
let's not be lazy, people. Yeah. Do it for your dogs, do it for yourself.
But to Freddie Shoop's defense, his dog wasn't on the beach. He was on the path, which you're allowed to have your dog on the path. You just can't take your beach dog onto the sand. Because you see people running with their dogs all the time on the running path.
Really? Okay, alright. So, he didn't get pinged the second time. Because remember when he got kicked out?
He was playing. No, no, no.
He didn't learn his lesson. Okay, well, if you didn't learn...
But his defense was also that it's not my dog, it's the
yeah,
it's a stray that just keeps coming back to my house and feeding. And...
Yeah. Come on, Dorothy. Yeah, so pretty much all of that happens, and, you know, he's losing his faith because the kids are driving him crazy. And then he just realized, you know,
fuck this shit.
Yeah, but then it was like too little too late because he was, well, this is before he was like, I'm out, because it started off under, you know, bad, you know, under bad arrangements, right? It wasn't just right. Like, okay, I'm here to teach you. And
well, he didn't know how to teach. He was a gym teacher.
Exactly.
So, okay, so I have some issues with, one, what high school gives tenure to teachers? I've never heard of that before. I thought that was a college thing, so I need to be educated on that. I guess it's a
Manhattan Beach high school thing.
Right. Also, most gym teachers are required to teach another class, but they're asking him to teach English for the first time, so he doesn't know anything about it.
So, of course, we dropped in on that year, but how long is it like his first year in this school as like a gym teacher? And it's like,
so that his girlfriend is 21, and so there's a scene where he was like, when my girlfriend's 67, I'll be 70 when she's 60.
Because she was like, well, I'll be 61, she'll be 66.
Right. She'll be like, and he was like, well, I'll be 75. So if his girlfriend's currently 21, he's like 28.
Yeah.
So he's probably been teaching for a couple years.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I get him that. But yeah, still. But wow. Yeah. Well, I guess their rules a bit. Oh, well, and the reason, and the catalyst for all of this is, actually, that was Carl Reiner who won. Who's crashing like, I won. That was him. So the teacher who was originally
supposed to be teaching summer school
won $50,000 and said, peace out, I'm not teaching summer school. I won a scratcher for $50,000, I'm gone.
Was the director of the movie.
Yeah, who was the director of the movie, Carl Reiner, yes. And so the assistant principal scrambles through the parking lot while the teacher's just traveling away from him, which I thought was hilarious. Just not like giving him the time of day. And then Shoop is hurrying up his packaging of the suitcases and stuff with his girlfriend, like, okay, we gotta go now, you know. And then he got cornered, and here we go with the movie. So,
okay, which he has a girlfriend who's in Hawaii, yes, granted, surfing. But he spends the entire movie trying to ask out Christy Alley. I have issues with that. I also have issues with the fashion in the entire movie, and then all the men were wearing short shorts.
It's a beach. It was a beach thing. Right?
I know, it was the 80s.
It was the 80s beach thing. Yeah, you know, nothing represents. It's like if you're in the proximity of sand or water, the shorts get shorter and shorter and shorter. Right. Like the closer you are to like a beach town.
Yeah, Mark Harmon's teacher was wearing short shorts to class.
Yeah.
No wonder why the 16-year-old wanted to bang him.
Yeah, hey, he knew about surfing.
He's like the hot surfer dude as a teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Showing off his legs in class.
Oh, they talking in like surf terminology.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm totally let her on. Yeah, and so, yeah, so pretty much they all rallied together. You know, they all learn the error of their ways, and they really want to try to make this test work, not only for them, but for...
to help their teacher.
Get fired. So they're like, hey, you know, we need to stop being selfish. We need to pass this test. You know, we want to shoot around, and we want to learn. So, you know, cue the music for all of the awesome 80s montages of book flipping, looking very serious at books, studying, sitting on the grass studying, sitting on the beach studying, you know, doing crazy things while they study. So it's kind of let people know, like, hey, they are serious about the study because there's a montage about it.
Right.
And then they take the test. And what was the outcome of the test?
The average score was 67.
Right.
But
I think like 2 or 3.
Three of them passed, everyone else failed.
Right.
But they went up, their original test scores were, I think, something like 28. So they improved by 125%.
Right. Yeah, which is cool. Because, was it the head?
It was the principal.
Yeah, right.
The head of the school, principal.
The principal. And so once the principal seen that it was progression more so than passing, that's what, the principal wanted to see. Like, hey, they're learning.
He took all of these problem students and actually did an amazing job with them. I mean, they didn't learn. They did learn, but they didn't pass.
Right. But they
improved significantly.
Right.
And you had, you even had them discovering that one of the students was dyslexic and could actually get help and have a better life versus failing their life.
Exactly right. And they took it seriously and they put forth the effort, and that's what they, end of the day, they wanted to see. They wanted to see results. They wanted to see that these kids were taking it seriously and they really wanted to learn. And they did, so lesson learned. And all was right with the world. I can't forget about, that's it. Did we say Larry? Larry was Larry, the one that was always asleep. We didn't know why. It was the mysterious student, come to find out.
He was a male stripper.
Yeah, he was shaking that thing for dollars at night. That's why he was always asleep during the day.
Right. He had already figured out where he was going to be successful in life.
Exactly. And it wasn't until his mother...
His mother just went
and
to...
And his auntie.
His aunt stuck $5 down his G-string and grabbed him and kissed him with a tongue.
Right.
That, I think that's a quote from the movie.
Yeah. And so he pretty much said, hey, this is not for
me. His mom told them that he wasn't 18, so he couldn't work.
Yeah, so that was pretty funny.
I actually, growing up in South Texas, I never really wanted to move to California. My goal was always to move to New York. But I did love the Chainsaw and Dave characters and their talent with the special effects makeup. It reminded me, as I was watching it, of the movie FX.
Oh, yeah. Was it Brian Dennehy?
Yeah.
And the other dude. Yeah.
Some other people.
Yeah.
and that... there's something magical about people that can do that with makeup and special effects, and it's very cool. So even though these are high school kids, they were very talented high school kids.
Second question, where did they get all of the material? Like,
I mean,
that slaughter scene,
right?
I'm like.
Yeah, so they stage a slaughter scene to scare away one of the substitute teachers that's filling in for Shoop.
They want to shoot back.
Right. And holy shit, there's eyeballs falling out of faces, bodies severed in half, people hanging. There's a chainsaw, or not chain, a blade.
Yeah, going through the head. Yeah. What the pregnant woman had, a ruler,
right,
and stuff in her
mouth. In my mind, they live in Los Angeles. There must be a store around where you can just go buy these things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is pre-YouTube, so they can't necessarily watch how to make all these things, but maybe they had a secret mentor.
Maybe. Yeah, Rick Baker, they probably, knew him or something.
Right.
Showed them the ropes of how to do it quick, because I'm like, wait, is it like that stuff takes time?
A lot of time.
Oh, like, that was very really elaborate.
Molds. Yeah. This past week when I was in Mexico, the only channel that we got was a sci-fi channel in English, and so I watched the special effects.
Oh, Face Off.
Face Off. Yeah.
Love that show.
I mean, just like. Creating the molds and everything, and then I went and watched Summer School, and creating the molds and everything for that. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Those kids don't need to go to college. They need to be going and getting a real job already.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why are they not on a set, right now, doing the next Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Right.
Like, if they have skills to do this,
Yeah.
Like, why are you even in school, dude? Like,
I mean, they should learn how to read, at the very least.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they did write... They wrote that essay. They wrote the sunglass company and got the free sunglasses.
Yes.
So this movie actually did inspire me as a kid in that if you actually have the energy and the motivation to write a company to complain about something, you might get something back. So this movie has inspired me in the past to do that. And it's easier with email, so...
Yes. It was better. Yeah. Right. You had to worry about typewriters and word processor, right. And it's email. Yeah, and actually you gave us that tidbit a couple of podcasts ago about that.
Yeah, if you have any major issues on an airline, ride them.
Okay. Yeah.
It's totally worth it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's an email. Like, just write...
I mean, when the worst is going to happen is they say, I'm so sorry about this.
Thanks.
Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, we'll take that into consideration. Yeah. Bye.
Which is every time I have an issue with UPS is what I do. And they just say, sorry, we'll fix that next time. And then the issue happens again. UPS.
UPS. Oh, Lord. But,
they're never going to sponsor us.
No. There's no reason to, I guess. I mean, well, I guess they do air. Maybe in-flight is listening. Maybe some UPS air people listen to it. So, UPS is cool.
We'll remove that bit.
Yeah, well, it's fine. It's okay. I mean, they know there's trouble in the water. It's fine. So I definitely. It was a greater appreciation for this movie, seeing it again, given like who was behind the camera and like who did the music and all that stuff that I had no idea until I watched it again. I'm like, what?
So I feel like you were more drawn to it as an adult based on the talent behind it, not necessarily the actual content of the story.
Okay, that heightens my appreciation, bro. Because when I watched it back in 87, I always thought it was in the wheelhouse of good, like, 80s movies. Like,
right.
If it came on cable or like, back in the days, HBO, Spectrum, whatever, we were like, oh, yeah, summer school. Yeah, it was cool. And then, you know, in retrospect, then why didn't see these people behind? I'm like, oh, I see why.
Right.
It was good. So, I mean, it definitely smooth for me.
Smooth flying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it inspired me to write letters to companies and get stuff. So I totally endorse this movie based on that alone.
Yes. Agreed. So definitely check it out. There's your Throwback Thursday movie assignment. Definitely watch it again if you didn't watch it. If you haven't seen it yet, definitely go back and watch Summer School. It's a good throwback movie that we definitely suggest to check out.
I mean, you can hear Heidi in the background.
That's how she's excited. That's how excited she is about it.
She's like, hell yes.
Summer School. Beaches.
She liked the dog in the movie. I mean, it's adorable.
Yeah. Wait a minute. That was a mix. That was a mix with something.
Yeah, that was a shepherd mix.
Yeah, it was cute.
It didn't have the pointy ears, but...
Yeah, that's a good point. Oh, and also, well, I know in this... It's always good watching again. Like, shoot... I think maybe one or two scenes, shoot was, like... did not eat anything. Like, 90% of the movie, like, he's always eating something. Like, he comes in, he's eating the donuts, eating the pop stuff. And then, like, when he was...
eating the apple.
The Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
Like, he's always eating stuff. Like, mostly all the scenes, he's, like, shoving something in his mouth and talking. You know?
Interesting.
Yeah, when he was... the scenes with Christy Allen, when they're, like, talking about the kids, like, they're eating. They're always, like, eating something.
So, I recently heard... trivia on Ocean's 11, why Brad Pitt's character was always eating in that movie.
Yes, why?
In like one of the first scenes that they were going to film, it went too long and he didn't get to eat. And so then he was like, I always have to have food. So then they based all of his scenes around him eating.
That's awesome. If I'm acting, that would be like my first rule. Like, I gotta eat.
I wonder if there was some sort of fun trivia around this about he always has to be eating.
That's awesome.
Also, he has aged very well for NCIS. I think he's...
Shoop,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was attractive.
Yeah, Shoop's cool.
Let's see, how old is he? He was born in 51, so he'll be 70 in about 2 years.
Okay. That's a couple of years younger than my pops.
He aged nicely.
Yeah, Shoop's cool. Christy too. I mean, Christy, she aged well also.
Yeah, and we won't... Oh, they're the same age.
Oh.
Actually, he's 8 months younger than her.
Man, robbing the cradle, that kid. That was cool. Definitely, I say that's our recommendation for this throwback. Definitely see it. We enjoyed it the second time around. That's the cool thing about going back to these old movies. It's a lot of things you did not notice before that you notice now, and you appreciate it. You either appreciate it or
you're like, dear Lord, what was
I thinking? Or it's like, ooh, why did I like this again?
Right.
But this is the one that we're like, oh, cool, I can see why we still like
this. I have to say, this is one of the movies from the 80s where when I went back and watched it, I wasn't appalled at how much rape type of stuff.
Like this movie?
This movie didn't have it. Like,
You mean like in general? Oh,
right.
Okay.
Like, if you go back and look at 16 Candles or Sweet Six or Pretty in Pink, like, there's so much. It's so dirty. And like racist stuff. I mean, yes, this movie has a token colored girl with dyslexia, and it has like the token black guy that's at the beginning and the end.
Yeah, that dope that you only see twice.
Right, he's really like set dressing, basically.
Yeah, I mean, but the flip side is, didn't he score the highest out of everyone?
He was the smartest.
He was the smartest. Yeah. I give him that.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, some of the 80s movies you like.
Right, a lot of 80s movies I've gone back and watched and been like, oh my gosh, this is really. What were we thinking? I can't show this to anyone now.
No. I know, it's a different time.
It's a common reoccurring theme at work that when you go back and watch a lot of the John Hughes movies, how inappropriate they are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, he was from the suburbs, so, he had an interesting outlook on it.
Right.
So probably some John Hughes movies we probably would have,
I don't know. We're totally reviewing some of the John Hughes movies.
Okay.
We're gonna talk about all the shade.
Exactly.
Reasons why you maybe don't want to show your teenagers these, even though you have lots of warm thoughts for them. Childhood.
That's true.
Or talk to them while you're.
Yeah, have a conversation. Yeah, Breakfast Club. But you know what? That's another one. Sorry. We got to do the John Hughes movie. We got to have a conversation about Breakfast Club, too. Because I'm on the fence on Breakfast Club. Because I actually watched it again recently. It was on, AMC or something like that. I watched it again. But Summer School, we definitely...
Right.
Our approval if you watch it. Yeah, there's no rapey things.
Yeah. Download it. Enjoy it on a flight.
Yeah.
Put it on at home.
Because I'm going to say most of these movies that we're reviewing for Throwback Thursdays, you're probably going to have to download. Because I didn't see any of this on Netflix.
You can get on Amazon Prime and rent it for $2.99.
Yes. It's a good it's a good $3. It's $3 well spent. You'll love it.
So you can find us on social media at Facebook, but make sure you download us, rate us, subscribe on iTunes, on Spotify,
Google Play, yeah.
All of the fun things out there. Make sure you rate us because that's how we get more people to discover us.
Yes, that's how we move up the ladder, right? So to speak, in podcast land. I am at Infinite Division Films on Instagram. If you want to check out my personal body of film stuff, you could go on infinitevisionfilms.com.
And I don't have film stuff. I just have animal and travel stuff at IslandGirl200 on Instagram.
Yes, yes. So, cool. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed. Yeah, and I hope you guys have a pleasant Thursday. Friday is right around the corner. So, enjoy, and we bid you guys safe travels and
peace.